If you would, please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew chapter 8 and the book of Mark chapter 2. Matthew chapter 8 and Mark chapter 2. Title of our lesson today is Seeing Their Faith. Seeing their faith. How visible is your faith today? Would you please stand as we read from the book of Matthew chapter 8 verse 34. Down through chapter 9, verse 8. Matthew 8, 34. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. You know, there are sad words that are found in the Word of God. And this phrase here must be one of the saddest phrases. They besought him that he would depart. Chapter 9, verse 1. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came to his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then said he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose, and departed to his house. And when the multitude saw it, they marveled, and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Dear Heavenly Father, as we read this portion of Scripture, we know that Thou art the divine physician. And yet, Lord, we know that You do not see fit always to heal. And Lord, we pray now for each of these here today. Maybe they have burdens on their heart and concerns. We ask, Lord, that You would direct and guide, giving peace and mercy. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. The book of Mark chapter 2, if you would please. The Mark chapter 2, I hope you kept your place. Mark chapter 2, we'll begin reading at verse 1. Same story, just a little bit more information. Mark 2, verse 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door, for he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. When Jesus saw their faith, as Jesus is looking at you and as he's looking at me, can he see our faith? Mark chapter 2, it becomes known that Jesus was in a house in Capernaum. And he taught them the Word of God. Can you imagine what that Bible study must have been like? You know, the ladies have a Bible study on Tuesday every other week, and they have a good time of fellowship. But may I say this? I'm sure that my wife cannot teach as well as Jesus did. Can you imagine what it was like? We note the phrase in Mark 2:2, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. I believe that churches are to preach the word. The whole word from Genesis chapter 1 to the end of the book of Revelation. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. I believe that one of the major issues of the United States of America today is that churches have stopped preaching the Word of God. They have become afraid of hurting somebody's feelings. They don't want to mention that there is a hell or that there are sins of which we need to repent. They want to talk about the love of God, but not about the justice of God. But notice in Hebrews chapter 10, we'll begin reading at verse 22. Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. Can the Lord see our faith? How important is the church to our Lord and Savior? How important? Let me tell you this. Over here in the city of Utica, there's Jimmy John's Field. How many of you have never been to Jimmy John's Field? Well, why not? It's just sitting right over here. Oh, my wife is saying because I won't take her. Well, how important is Jimmy John's Field in the scheme of everything? Not very. But how about the church of God? The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is important. It's more important than most things that we can mention. It's needed in America. God has blessed America with gospel preaching churches. The book of Ephesians chapter 5. The book of Ephesians chapter 5. The church is more important than Lakeside Mall. It's more important than Costco's. It's more important than Myers or Kroger's or Comerica Park. The church of God that proclaims the Word of God is important. And let's see how important it is. The book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And yet we find to the church of Laodicea in the book of Revelation chapter 3 verse 20, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Because it would seem that the church of the latter days has pushed Christ outside. We have our programs. We have other activities. But we've stopped preaching the word of God. Seeing their faith. Now, the fact of the matter is, most of you that have been in church for any length of time know this story. Jesus is in a house, probably a guest of someone, and he's teaching from the Old Testament because they didn't have the New Testament. Maybe he was teaching from the writings of Moses or the Psalms or from the prophets. When suddenly there is a cry from outside, "Let us in. This man needs to be seen by Jesus. Look out the window. Four men are carrying a deathly ill man." Would you have been willing to be one who carried a friend or a family member to see Christ? Would you have been one who would have said, "Hey, you need to go see Christ"? Would you have been willing to do that? Or would you say, "Well, some other time," or "I'm busy doing this," or "I can't be bothered"? Matthew 9:2 says, "And behold, they brought to him a man sick, but they could not get inside." Nobody wants to move to let these men in the house. You see how it is, first come, first served. I remember reading the story. It was 5:30 in the morning on Black Friday that they were outside Best Buy. And they had lined up for the good deals when a man shows up and he tries to move through the line to get to the door. And some people said, "That's not going to happen," and they take him to the back of the line. Not deterred, he tries again. And he begins moving upwards, and finally more people grab him and take him to the back of the line. And he says, "Wait a minute. If you don't let me to the door, I can't open it." That these men wanted inside, their friend, their relative was ill. But first come and first seated. After all, this is Jesus talking. And they want to hear what he has to say. Now, I'll be honest with you. I would love that if we would have to add chairs in the hallway or the aisles here because there were so many people that wanted to hear about the Word of God. I think it'd be marvelous, but as you look around, and I know we have people that have gone away on vacation, and some people are not here for different reasons, but I guarantee you, if all of them were here, we'd still have room. The fact of the matter is, we could go down the streets of our neighborhoods and our cities, and we'll find people cutting grass, or watering their lawn, or doing other odds and ends, and they no longer have a desire to hear about Jesus, the Savior of our souls. According to the Gospel of Mark, the four men somehow got the one on the stretcher up on the roof. Maybe there were steps on the side of the house that would lead up to the top. And in that day and age, it was not uncommon for people to go up on the roof and to cool off from the heat of the day or to eat up there because the living space wasn't all that big. And maybe that's how they got up there. Or maybe they had some type of rope system to hoist them up onto the roof. But whatever they did, they realized they couldn't go through the door. And so they said the best thing to do is to take the roof apart. Not like our roof. I mean, I tell you what, it'd be hard to get through this roof up here. But they had some type of a tile, and they began to move the tiles. You're in the house. Tiles are being slid apart. Dust is falling down inside on those that are there. You're looking up to see what in the world is happening. When suddenly the hole is big enough and you look up and you see four men looking down inside at you. And suddenly these four men are letting down this man on his stretcher. The Bible calls it a bed. Can you in your mind's eye picture this? You've gone to a Bible study and suddenly the roof is coming apart and people are letting down a man that is obviously in physical distress. There's a cry for help because they can only reach down so far. And can you see four men standing up? James and John and Peter and his brother Andrew. And they're reaching up and they bring the bed down. Can you see it? There are some people that are beginning to grumble. But why are they doing this? We were here first. There are some that are questioning, thinking, wow, what's happening? Why are they doing this? And then there are others that are simply watching. But Jesus is searching the hearts of these five men. What does he find? He finds faith. Faith. Mark 2:5 says, when Jesus saw their faith. Ephesians 2:8-10 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Can people see your faith? Do they know of your faith? James 2:17 says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. How many churches today are dead? They may have beautiful buildings and they may have great sound systems and they may have a lot of activities, but are they showing their faith? Verse 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Jesus said, by their fruits ye shall know them. By their fruits. Blaisdell writes, some people can talk Christianity by the yard, but they cannot walk it by the inch. You've all heard the little statement, actions speak louder than words. About your actions, are they proclaiming Christ? D.L. Moody, in his book, 1001 Thoughts from My Library, recorded this thought, workless faith God never regards, faithless works God never rewards. The Lord is watching you. Can he see your faith? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you serving Him faithfully, not just on a Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, but throughout the week? 1 Peter 2:12 says, having your conversation or your lifestyle honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God. Can they see your faith? Matthew 5:16, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Putzen writes, let your light so shine before men that others, awed and charmed by the consistency of your godly life, may come to inquire. Some of you may remember the song that came out a decade or so ago, I Saw Jesus in You. When people look at you, can they see your faith? Is your faith alive and vibrant? Or are you ashamed of your faith in Jesus Christ? In conclusion, 1 Peter 2:21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. To which Guthrie writes, never fear to suffer, but oh, fear to sin. If you must choose between them, prefer the greatest suffering to the smallest sin. Jesus saw their faith. Is your faith something of convenience? Nothing else gets in the way? How much are you willing to sacrifice for your faith in Jesus Christ? How much are you willing to sacrifice for the church for which he died? How strong is your faith? Shall we stand together? 401, only trust him. Do you have your faith in Jesus Christ today? Can your friends and family, your co-workers, your neighbors, do they know of your faith? Dear Heavenly Father, as we stand together and we sing this song of invitation, we ask, Lord, that the Spirit would move. Convict our hearts, Lord. Touch our hearts. Reveal to us if we are standing for your faith, or are we sitting down hoping nobody will notice? Lord, help us in our daily walk. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.